That I get to introduce to each and every one of you, the third legend that's in our presence today. And you know, I just want to say my definition of a legend is someone who has nothing left to prove and everything to give. And that is exactly how I would describe this woman. She is generous and loving of spirit and so in her bio, she actually wrote how overwhelmed she is by the neo-burlesque community's love that she's receiving and the welcome invitation to travel the road that she paved is more like it. She was in the Katherine Dunham's experimental company in New York City when she was discovered by the famous Minsky Burlesque show in 1950. And while touring, she did truly meet the love of her life, Bill Holiday. He played trumpet, was a ventriloquist, as well as an MC, and together the couple traveled the country together. I read a funny anecdote that she had told an interviewer that each and every year they would buy a new car to go across the country in. And when asked, Ms. Idell, why did you buy a new car each and every year? She simply replied, because a star doesn't travel in a used car. Magazine, her great legacy to burlesque was that she integrated many white nightclubs throughout the United States and Canada. She was the headliner for every show she performed in, and when asked if she ever had difficulty performing at an all-white club, Jean stated simply, no, the crowd was more interested in seeing me perform. Gorgeous people that came to see you. Hold on, I'm going to bring up your co-panelists. I'd like to welcome back to the stage. You've seen her in many shades of dress and undress, and that's just our way of saying thank you for coming to the show. Please welcome back to the stage, Shannon Doa. The stage. We're so happy to give these beautiful legends of burlesque a voice today. We're so happy that you're here to hear them. To mediate the conversation, please welcome back to the stage, Joe Boobs Weldon.
Hello. Hello to some of my favorite people ever.
Wow.
Hi. Hi, Kim. So I heard that there's a mic out in the audience. Is that true? Oh my God. Okay, so I had prepared questions, but I think since we have a mic in the audience, let's just go for it, all right? You guys feel good about that? Does anybody, raise your hand if you have a question you'd like to ask the legends. If you don't, I have some prepared, so. All right, I'll go first. I wanted to ask what it was like the first time you performed, if you were, I barely remember the first time I performed, so.
The first time, I had to go bottomless and topless. My knees were shaking, and I thought that I was smiling, but my smile was frozen. It was the most thrilling, exciting, and horrifying at the same time. But I did it, and I was hooked. I was hooked on that drug of dancing and taking my clothes off.
And where was that?
That was in San Bernardino, California.
Awesome. What year was it? Do you remember?
1969.
Wow. Shannon, same question.
The first time I performed, it was at Go-Go Club in North Beach in San Francisco. And I just saw an ad in the paper, and I just thought, I'm going to just go down there and go for it. And the manager said, yeah, go ahead, get up on the stage. And then he said, dance a little bit, and then take your top off. I said, okay. So I danced a little bit, and he came back around and goes, you can take your top off. Okay. So I danced a little more, came back around again. He said, go ahead, take it off. And it was also new. So I said, sure, okay, I will. I said, dance some more. And he said, came back around and said, this is not for you. He says, go on home. Go on home. So I went home and I felt really sad because I thought, this would be a great job. I get to exercise and I love music. So I went back the next night and I went to a different club and I just threw caution to the wind and I just took it all off and just and danced and loved it. So that was my first experience.
Hello, everybody. My name is Milan Holiday, and I am Gene Idell's son. I had the opportunity to actually see her perform in 1960. All right, I'm kind of giving away my age, but I actually saw my mother perform. I was about 5 years old, and my father and her brought me to a burlesque show, and I actually saw her perform. It was unbelievable.
Hello, hello. It's quite an honor and a pleasure for me to be here and to tell you how wonderful I've been treated in the United States of America. I was first discovered dancing because I was in the Girl Scouts. And at the end of the tour in Girl Scouts, all the girls had to get on stage to do what they knew best for the audience. So I didn't know what I did best at that age in the Girl Scouts. So all I could think of was to go on stage and do what dance that we did in my day called the Boogie Woogie. So after I got on stage and I did the Boogie Woogie, all the audience started applauding so much. I said, wow, I can do this. I didn't know that. So then my mother decided that she put me in school for dance, to learn how to dance, since I was accepted doing the Boogie Woogie. And so I went to school for dancing. First of all, I went to the school of Mary Bruce School of Dancing, and then I went to the Captain Dunham School of Dancing. I was discovered out of dancing school by a Broadway theatrical agency. And the agency took me in and turned me over to a choreographer. The choreographer trained me how to dance in the proper manner. And they thought I was qualified to imitate the fan dance, the famous fan dancer. And they taught me how to imitate Sally Rand. Can you believe that? They thought that I was good enough to teach me how to imitate Sally Rand. So therefore, I went right on through learning How to Dance with the Fans. Now the Broadway Theater. Yeah. All right, and I thank you.
Did anybody think of a question?
Suddenly a mic appeared.
That was amazing. Okay. Hi. You guys are incredible. I just want to say, how has performing changed for you? I know back in the day, you were probably 20-something and insanely hot, and people probably just showed up because you were insanely hot and took your clothes off. And now people are showing up because you're still insanely hot, but there's a great appreciation for the art form of what you're doing. Is there, do you feel that from the audience more? Because I'm sitting here and I'm in awe of all of you. And I am not a burlesque performer. I never take my clothes off ever. I could shower with clothes on if possible. So, I mean, like, what you're doing is incredible. And do you feel the shift in the audience of how we appreciate what you're doing? I certainly hope so. What you guys are doing is amazing. Guys, ladies, sorry.
Thank you. I must tell you that it wasn't as easy as that. I mean, we traveled and I had to do all kinds of things for promotion to become a headliner. I did nude press conferences, bikini walks. I get up early in the morning and pass out flyers. It was work, and I wanted to be somebody in that field. I just didn't want to always just dance for money.
Can you hold the mic closer?
I wanted to be rich and famous. I found one easy way. I did take a shortcut. I got in with a very famous director. Yes, that helped. I mean, anything helps. And I did some bad choices, like doing porn, but you know, you guys forgive me. God forgives me.
I like it.
I'm sorry I did it, but you know what? I must press forward.
And we're not sorry you did it.
Thank you, Joe.
And everything I sacrificed 5 marriages, not having kids. Trust me, you sacrifice a lot to be who you are. That was my journey. I'm not complaining. I'm bragging. but you know, I appreciate the audience now. I wish you could have seen me in my heyday, but oh well. I love you too.
I think we are seeing
you. Thank you.
Appreciated for my dancing. You know, really, the customers when we were performing were mostly men and couples, and really was take it off, hurry up, pretty gown, could you get rid of it? But so it's wonderful to be appreciated. And anyway, it's wonderful to be back on stage, and I wish you could have seen Kitten in her heyday too. She had the same agent as I did, and I saw a picture of her on the wall. I said, is that a real person? she was incredible. You know, things have changed, and I can't believe the way they've gone. It's amazing for all of us to be able to be back doing what we love, and it was some of the best times of my life, if not the best time of my life, and so many memories that still keep going now because of New Burlesque. So, you know, I'm thanking everybody for being here. And it's great to see such a diverse group of people, different ages, and gals and guys. So, thank you.
For some strange reason, I feel compelled to let you guys know the son perspective of being a son of a burlesque.
Yeah.
So when I was in elementary school, I used to bring all these exotic pictures and I was showing all my friends, you know, all the fifth graders and the sixth graders. And when the teacher found out about it, I was actually suspended. how did you feel when you were on stage, and how do you feel then and now?
When I appeared on stage, there's no way in the world that I ever thought that I would be accepted by such a marvelous, generous audience. And just the word is, I think you use for that is elated, surprised, appreciative, elated, grateful, everything like that. Because every move I made, the audience was going, yeah! So I decided, after that, I decided to really sincerely make that a profession for my livelihood. And now it worked out very well. I was successful, accepted, and was successful. Very successful.
Is that right? Is that about right?
Yes.
We have a hand up out there? Oh, I see a hand up. I see, yeah. That's a good hand. That's an excellent hand.
I was wondering if Shannon and Kitten could tell the audience a little bit about the Club Losers.
The Losers Lounge?
Sure.
Scott wants to hear a little bit about the Losers Lounge.
Okay, the Losers Lounge. Ooh, that was like the most classiest place in Hollywood. And the owners, Pete Rooney and Sonny, they only picked the best, like perfection. I got to be the star there for like a year doing the bathtub show. And they told you what to wear, and I had to wear platinum blonde wig. That's what he wanted. Oh, closer. And I did exactly what they wanted. And it was nude, it was a beautiful place. It was called the Losers, which meant every week they would pick a loser, somebody that's famous that did some stupid thing. He would be the loser of the week. They had a very, the show like very Frenchy. Most of us physically looked alike, and it was, we all had to have acts and beautiful costuming, right?
And the audience was a lot of couples, and Johnny Carson was, he was in there quite a bit with one of the wives that he, I don't know if you all remember, he had quite a few different wives, so we never kept track of which one he brought in, but he and his writers came in. There was a bar there, and a lot of the television stars, that would be their hangout. Ben Gazzara, the guy that did Peter Falk was there a lot. The person that played Jethro, and Junior was in there a lot. He asked me to be in a movie, and I said, I don't know. Who is it? You know, we get that a lot. But Red Fox, and they did handpick the girls. I was working in a go-go club down around Santa Monica area in California, and someone came in and said, do you want to work in a club in Hollywood, sort of Beverly Hills area, and I said, sure, and two of us, he just took two of us and we were in, no audition, nothing. So they were particular, I think, what, 7 girls total in the whole show, and it was 6 nights a week, with rehearsals every day, and what else, and rules and regulations about your weight and how you should work out, and eat, no sodas, things like that. So it was fun. But they were taskmasters, ruling.
And for Gene, what was your favorite club to work in?
Was it the Rialto Theater? Minsky.
microphone.
Minsky's Rialto Theater in Chicago. Woo! That was, in my day, a very, very popular, like, say, a Radio City Music Hall in New York. And they, what amazed me so much is, like, they accepted me, you know, it's shocking. To me, it was shocking that they accepted me in such a marvelous manner, you know. I was always very, well, I won't say I personally, but afraid, they were afraid that I would not be accepted. But everyone did accept me. And I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah.
Jen, are we about out of time? All right, so last time we did this show, I called my mom. You guys want to call my mom?
Yes!
All right, I don't know if she's home, but we can leave her a message if she's not. I know y'all were like, what the hell is she doing bringing a cell phone on stage? All right, so, and last, if you were here last time, oh my goodness. All right, so, my mom. She's good. All right, here we go. She's in Red Cloud, Nebraska. Yeah.
Red.
So I'm not going to put her on speaker without consent.
Yeah.
So I'm called. The phone's ringing. Doesn't sound like she's picking up. What could she be doing but waiting for my call?
Yeah.
On Mother's Day.
All right. Okay, here we go. All right, we're going to have to leave her a message. You guys ready?
Yeah.
You guys ready to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day?
Yes.
All right, just a sec.
Let's hear the message.
When you're finished recording, you may hang up. All right.
Dress is phenomenal.
Hey, Mom.
I know.
So, I'm at a burlesque show. It's Mother's Day, and I wanted to have everybody wish me happy Mother's Day. So, everybody ready?
Yeah. Hey,
happy Mother's Day!
Thank you. I love you guys. Thank you, everybody.